This is for us after being on the road for a while. This is a great song. It's by Jason Isbell. I play the album Southeastern.
Doesn't he have tiny little hands?
Yes, the tiny little hands segment.
I remember that. I don't know
a
why
shabby
it
classic.
Stands out to me.
I don't remember what episode it was, but it wasn't too bad.
Yeah. It's a nice little rock and roll number, huh? Old school.
It's such a good... I really like Jason Isbell's lyrics. Yeah, so check it out.
Storyteller.
Good storyteller. Yeah. Yep. Very American gothic. You know, it's a good record.
Cool.
Solid.
I'll have to check them out.
Those guitar tones.
Do a couple rails.
Oh. Oh.
Oh, classic.
Yes, it is.
Have you ever done a couple rails in a Super 8 motel?
Yeah. Yes, I have.
One or two.
Yeah. In every state in America.
Yeah, I think I may have at one time in my life, too.
Who hasn't? By golly.
Who hasn't? Oh, that's what I was saying when we went to Iowa at the end of that tour.
Yeah, you know, at my age, I found myself thinking, I could sure use some blow right now.
At your age.
Yeah.
That's
a little tiring. That last little run from Chicago to Iowa was brutal. I'm like, yeah, I could do fuck ton of rail right
we
now.
We would do... Back in the day, you'd have done a lot of just to get to that sound check, right?
Oh, yeah.
Just
yeah,
to get out
absolutely.
Of bed.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, shall we get cracking?
Let's crack. Speaking of crack?
Well, all right, everybody. Tonight, what do you say we have a rock and roll party?
Come on, boy.
Abbey Road Records show.
Heavy metal, rock and roll is always going to be with us. Day after day, year after year, it's never going to die.
Who likes rock and roll? Yeah!
Abbey Road Records show.
Put down the boxing gloves and try and just get it together.
Well, hey, Labba!
Hey, Labba!
Better late than never. The Shabby Road Record Show is on the air. Your hipster-free vinyl podcast. I'm your host, Ryan McKay. And now, I don't know what smells worse, a bag of used Gene Simmons cod pieces or the recent touring suitcase of A.D. Adams.
That's right. Welcome to Shabby Road Studio, the studio voted most likely to cause serious infection. Come on in. We're about to record yet another little mistake. We'll be calling episode 223. We've got plenty of booze, plenty of time, and plenty of records. So let's shut me the fuck up and spin those fuckers. Come on.
Yeah. Come on. That's right, A.D. We do got some records here. Thanks a lot for joining us here. Again, 223 is off and running. We are putting out fires over at the Shabby Command Center.
God, everything is... How many bad cables did we replace with bad cables here?
Eight.
In the last hour and a half.
And in the middle of all that, not her fault, an extraordinary engineer in her own right. Of that is, of course, the luscious Liz Damian Brooks.
Liz, nothing's on fire, Brooks.
Yes, as long as it doesn't start steaming.
That's fine with me. You see smoke, it's not my cigarette.
God almighty, the machinery over there.
And Liz has brought with her someone who's probably the cause of it all. That's Sal 5000. What's up, Sally? Wake up.
Oh, God, I need a big old drink.
We're right with you on that one, Sal.
No
tonight,
boy.
I tell you, we're on Team Sal here.
God. That was an hour.
And I don't think we fixed it.
Our headphones sound horrifying, but
yes,
I think I have a feeling that everything's going down to tape very good.
There's this weird
we're
distortion
using 8-track tape
and
to
just,
record the episode.
Yes, and the match pack wedged in the in between the machine and the
my
actual tape
recording.
Cassette to keep it rolling proper.
Yes, you know, if you want to get personalized 8-track tapes for your band, AD, where are you going
to
go?
Well, we're going to go to alltheworldsofstage.net. You know why? Because in this crazy business called show, name recognition is everything. It doesn't matter who you are. Nowadays, it's all about the brand. When you see your favorite band's logo, that's instantly recognizable. Not just the band's name that you read, but the shapes and the colors of the logo itself. Well, let me tell you something, Turbo. If you've got a band, then you need merchandise that gets your band logo noticed. And the place to get all your band's merch needs? Well, that's alltheworldsastage.net, of course. The great folks over at alltheworldsastage.net can customize and create any type of promotional product you could possibly imagine. And not just t-shirts either. Oh no, Bucky. Mugs, lighters, hoodies, banners, stage backdrops, ashtrays, bottle openers, and so much more. If I wasn't so high, I'd probably remember a lot more shit, but that's the point. They have more stuff than you haven't even thought of yet.
What?
So click on over to see what they have on alltheworldsastage.net and get your band's name and logo noticed. You'll be more famous than the Beatles and Kiss combined, and you'll probably get laid more too. No kidding. Serious. Custom merch at alltheworldsastage.net.
That's all the world's a stage. I tried to outrun him.
.net.
Saving 10%, you'll be, if you mention Shabby Road Record Show when you put your order together. That's a great place over there. Ran into Steven Seaborg in Chicago, so very, very cool.
We did. We ran into a lot of people on the road this last time around.
We did.
Ran into what, Bill Elam in, where was that, Cleveland?
Bill Elam was in Cleveland.
Sold out show in Cleveland. And then with Tim Talbot. Was in, I want to say Chicago. That was
Chicago.
The Chicago show.
Ty Phillips in Iowa.
In Iowa, yeah. And all about booze. What are they, you know, here's booze for you.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Thanks.
Well, they listen
the
to the show.
It's a good thing we don't drink anymore.
Yeah. Or well, we don't drink any less.
Or any less.
Hey.
Speaking of Tim, he did buy some beer for us tonight.
Oh,
he's got some beer. He went to our website, shabbyroadrecordshow.com, and got us even more liquor.
Tim, thank you.
So you can, if you're listening to the show and you want to support the show by buying us beer, by all means, go over to that website and click on the frosty mug of beer waiting for you over there. But we've got some records that we got to dole out, don't we?
You know what else we got?
What?
Ricky Serrano.
Is that who that is? I haven't seen him for so long. I didn't recognize him.
It's been ages.
So there's a knock on the door. It's a nice, gentle tap. If you have a signature knock on the door, it's like, I might be here. I hate to bother you. But, you know, that Ricky Serrano awesome tap. And it's like.
More like a cat, like scratching to get
like
in.
Like, I'm over here.
And it's like, here you are sitting out in the dark with Luscious Liz out there and then the stray animals and hobos out there. What have you been up to, Ricky? What brings you by the old shop?
Playing guitar and shit.
Yeah.
I miss you guys.
We miss you, dude.
We miss you too, brother.
We miss you so
now
much.
I'm here.
Yeah.
Back
he's
to the shab.
He's going to hang out and crack wise with us as we dole out these records.
Yeah.
Got anything you want to plug? Any videos or any cool music you got put out right now?
Not really.
Paintings? You paint still,
no.
Right?
Well, it's been like a year since I painted because I just been making music. And
yeah, I was gonna have you commission a nude with you.
That can be arranged.
Yeah,
it is going to be something.
It's going to be something indeed. All right. Well,
you know they measure like when the artist holds her thumb out to measure. It's like yeah, that's about it. You won't waste much paint in the weenie department. I tell you that.
Jesus. You will not run out of flesh-colored paint.
You certainly won't.
I'm just saying, size has nothing to do with it.
You will not run out of wiener helmet purple. I got a full tube of it left over from the AD nude. Oh, Ricky's got his hands over his eyes. It's already.
Did you miss us?
Well, let's play some records. We have fooled around long enough. I think it's time to play some records here.
God almighty.
Liz, you have the two playing cards. Who's going to go first in this melee?
I don't know.
The things
one.
Have gone off the rail early.
It didn't take much time. I'm having another beer. I'm going to have me a beer.
I'm going to have a beer.
Okay.
Oh, she's got the two playing cards.
Hold on a sec. Oh. I'm going to get me a beer.
That's like she passed out there. Ricky, you got to pick left or right hand to see who's going to go first.
Okay. Let's go right, because my name starts with R.
Okay. That's solid logic
that
there.
That would be right.
Hey, it's
which
me.
Starts with R.
Also, yeah, see, we're on the same.
Right.
We have a lot in common. Our first names start with R. We play guitar.
Today's show is brought to you by the letter R.
R. Okay. Well, yeah. I got to tell you a story.
Name Jed.
My record here has a long story here. In 2001, let's pretend it's 2001.
All right.
Shut up, Sal.
Picking different year, I suppose.
Wait, that sound we couldn't identify as our mixing console or Sal 5000. Well, Stuart has gone missing, you guys. His former bandmates and manager have posted onto the internet, if you are harboring him, you are not doing him any good. All right, so we got to find Stuart.
Stuart
is the front man of a hugely successful, now broken up band. He began his career as a punk rock guitarist, actually, in the middle of that scene's explosion in the UK in the late 70s. The Skids were their name. Landed a deal with Virgin Records and a John Peel radio spot all on their first trip to London.
Wow.
Okay. And it was procured by their friends in the punk band The Stranglers. You ever heard of The Stranglers?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So they were friends, and the Stranglers were like, right, you got to get around to London. And so they hooked them up. They got a record deal and everything, The Skids. They did three albums, and one of which was produced by David Batchelor, known for his work with the Sensational
Alex Harvey Band.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I was wondering if you'd catch that. And that, you know, Sensational Alex Harvey Band is Stuart's countrymen. They're from the same part of the globe.
Scotland.
Then.
Oh, fire.
But that was then, A.D., Ricky, Liz. Mm-hmm. This is now. He's living in Nashville, and he's facing a DUI charge for drinking over three times the legal limit.
Ah.
Where is Stuart? Where could he be? Is he somewhere contemplating his departure from his punk band, The Skids? I mean, he felt like he wanted to forge his own way. A punk guitarist he was, yes, but his playing style owed a lot less to, like, say, Johnny Ramone than it did the lead lines of Bebop Deluxe, Bill Nelson, who he was a fan of, who also produced The Skids' second album. He also loved the jerky rhythms of a Nils Lofgren.
Okay, who doesn't?
And right. The grand solos of Steve Hunter and Dick Wagner from Alice Cooper.
I would say even grandiose.
Yes.
If I may add to that grand.
Oh, the grandeur.
Right? Come on.
So he enlisted an old buddy of his from school to join him in a new project, right? So together with some other fellow Scotsmen, they formed a band. And then it was 1980 at this point. And it's 1980. And so you're going to be dicking around with some synthesizers.
Oh, no, you're not.
Humbly perched onto ironing boards until they realized that, well, Stuart put it best. He said, quote, music used to be a thing where working people got together on a Saturday night and played some songs. Someone play guitar or a fiddle or an accordion. No bastard ever played the synthesizer.
Good.
So this sentiment was surely instigated by the fact that they received a chorus of boos when they opened up for Alice Cooper in Europe around that same time, around 1980.
Stuart, who the fuck?
But where could Stuart be now, A.D.? Where is he?
Could it be the police? The police?
That's Stuart Copeland.
No.
But he was a drummer.
Incorrect. Now, his wife of 2 years has just filed for divorce, and his papers just got filed today, the day he's gone missing.
2001 again.
Yeah. His friends have left messages here in 2001, but no reply. Is he somewhere thinking about how it was ditching those synthesizers and ditching the rhythm section that led to all of their success in their new band? Because they got rid of the drummer and the bass player, and they got these two like session player guys to come in and do it, and him and his buddy, the two guitar players, were writing these tunes. You know, how much of it was due to ditching those synthesizers and getting a new cool rhythm section? So, a missing person report has been filed. It's 2001 again. And maybe we could find some clues to Stuart's whereabouts in his credit card activity. While he's using that credit card, is he reliving the disaster of his new retooled version of the band's first single? What happened was they got a top name producer to produce their first single, Chris Thomas, who did another very famous album I'm sure you're familiar of, Nevermind the Bollocks,
well, okay.
Sex Pistols. But it doesn't matter to have this great producer doing your record when this producer's off jet setting and recording Elton John's new album. So he gave them little or no attention while he was off doing his thing. So the production sounds really flat. It kind of charts a little bit, but like bubbling under, barely anything. And so it was not a success, but they did find another producer in a guy, Steve Lillywhite, who is a very well-known producer.
Sure.
Sadly, best known for his work with U2. But there was a great synergy between Stewart and the band that's newly kind of retooled and this producer, Steve Lillywhite. And they just go into this flurry of activity once they got together, and it results in the band's debut album, an album containing songs that U2's guitar player, The Edge, said, quote, contains songs that he wishes U2 could write.
What?
Yeah. Back to 2001 now. The latest word on Stewart's whereabouts is that, according to the credit card records, he's gone from Nashville to Hawaii. He's in Honolulu.
Kick ass.
He's at a Best Western hotel.
Doing crack.
He's ordering 3 bottles of wine a day.
I like him.
He had, previous to this, sobered up for about a decade before he fell off the wagon. His last gig with his band, this is 2001, and clearly, based on my story, we're talking about a 1980s era band. So in 2001, his last gig with the band, Stewart fell down the stairs backstage drunk and struggled to get through the gig. The time in Nashville, he met his second wife, and he felt like confident enough that where he could have just a little bit of a drink, and then he'd be all right, you know. But that obviously led to this downfall. The music business is tough, AD. Although they had their hits, by the end of the 80s, they were fading away. In the U.S., they were a one-hit wonder, and we all know the song. They were MTV Golden Boys for an all-too-brief moment. In Europe, though, their blend of this twin guitar, Celtic rock, and new wave was influential for a new generation of kids. Any guesses yet?
Wait, Stewart. Come on, Eileen.
Close. You're in the right ballpark, but that's not them.
Come on, Eileen's sister.
No.
Sorry.
So
Stewart, I know who you're talking about. He's a little pudgy-faced dude. Yeah, he is.
Oh. you're gonna make a guess?
Oh man, yes.
All right. Def Leppard.
No.
Def Leppard.
No. Oh fuck, come on. I know who it is.
Ricky?
I don't know.
Bay City Rollers.
Nope. This is an 80s band.
Oh, not them. Still a little pudgy face, dude.
So the one hit wonder that I spoke about is the one that everybody in America knows, you know. And it's far and away the best moment on the album. But we don't play the hits here. We want something different. So here is a song by Stewart Abramson, who took his own life in that Best Western hotel in Hawaii, unfortunately. By all accounts, a great guy. He was the life of the party. He was the lead singer and the songwriter behind 1983's album The Crossing by a little band called Big Country.
Oh, wow. So not the guy I was thinking of.
So there you go, Ricky. I'll throw that over to your
so way. Wow. So he offed himself, huh?
Yeah, in 01. Of course, the big hit is In a Big Country.
In a Big Country.
Dreams stay with you country. Like a lover's voice, fires a mountainside. That's actually a great song. This is the Seaborg record collection that he sent all those years ago. So yeah. Thank you, Steven Seaborg. I pulled this record out. I'd heard it before, and it's decent. It's interesting because of its Celtic nature. It's at its best when it's doing the Celtic thing.
Mm-hmm. Which guy is it? Which guy is he?
I don't show me the picture. I can't see that from over here. It's the guy that looks like the dude in the Big Country video.
Guy laying down to pool of blood.
Oh, come on.
Oh,
wow. Look at you.
We never said how he offed himself, so that was just a guess.
Yeah, actually, that was not how he offed
himself.
Could
have choked himself.
Yeah, there you go. You're on the right track there. So the album has got a lot of great moments in it. Overall, like song-wise, it falls short. I mean, maybe it's because I really think In a Big Country, if you listen to it again now, it's like, my God, that's a good song. No wonder they had a hit, you know, on it, because it really is a good song. We're going to hear a song called Inward, which I think is the second best song. And it's not because it's the second song on the record. It's I actually do think it's the second best song. It's just got a nice hook to it. There's times in the album where you think it falls a little short because the songs go on too long. And perhaps like there's one like track, I think it's track 3, that has such a great lyric. It's got that sort of Irish Scottish melancholy about it, and
I love that vibe. I've always liked that.
You should check this record out.
Really?
You know, it's not overly 80s. Unfortunately, the song I'm playing does kind of have a little bit of an 80s thing.
In a million years, I never would have thought to ever even look at this record, let alone touch it, and then even less put it on my turntable.
Yeah.
You know, because Big Country, I automatically go, that's 80s. It's so 80s, and I'm so not in.
Right. Yeah. The thing is, so sometimes, like, there's always something wrong. Like, I play producer when I listen to the record. Like, I go, all right, this song is so good, but the chorus is terrible. Like, it's a real droning. You know, this song has got a great chorus, but the verse isn't good. This song is good, but it goes on way too long. You know, but it's got a cool vibe to it. I mean, it's two guitars, bass and drums. Although, you know, sometimes their guitars tend to sound like they get... Some people say they sound like bagpipes, but that's not really what they do. They got an Ebo. You know what an Ebo is, Ricky? Do you know what an Ebo is?
You buy things. You bid online.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. Correct. It's a device that a guitar player will hold
in his
right hand, and there's a little track where a guitar string will sit in, and it vibrates this thing. And you can just move your... It's basically, it sounds like your guitar sounds like a violin. Yeah. Kind of.
Right.
So there's a lot of that kind of stuff going on. So you may like this record.
Yeah.
All right.
Sounds like that.
Well, let's check it out. I kind of like these guys. The record's grown on me. They did have a long career in Europe. They went on, we think of them as a one-hit wonder, but they had a long career in Europe.
So when did this record come out? What was it?
1983 on Mercury Records.
83, wow. Yeah. 2001, he just like...
That's enough already with you people.
Going. Wow, too bad.
Sad. Man. Yeah, sad story, but here we go. Let's check this out. It's going to be side one, track two, Inward, from the album The Crossing, which is their debut record, Big Country.
I wouldn't wanna go home on a night like this.
Will that take you back to the 80s there?
80? I need some whiff. And what I need to have a fist fight with Jeff.
And your brother.
I need to know what time we're going on stage in Schenectady tonight.
Go game!
I think it's worth a spin, you know. I'm sure that record is probably $4 at a record store, but it's kind of fun.
I never in a million years would I ever thought I'd put this on a turntable. I'll listen to it. I'll listen to it. I'll try to listen to it with brand new ears and see what I can.
Yeah, you'll like the sort of Celtic.
Let them in there.
Yeah, I was just telling Ricky and AD and Liz off the air that they made a conscious effort as guitar players not to bend strings.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Which is very, yeah, for a rock band, even a pop band.
All the notes are very stark, very matter of fact.
Yeah. You know? They approach it like, if you think about the hit song in a big country, very kind of Irish jig thing.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of the guitar work on it is very Celtic like that. Very Scottish.
And how much of that chicken guitar is on there?
Well, that's probably the more
all of it.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't say all of it. They do get. I mean, there's acoustic stuff in there. You know, about being warriors and whatnot.
Right. They're
you know, like Thin Lizzy. You know,
like Mel Gibson.
Yes, like Braveheart. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Mel Gibson.
Like Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson's a fucking warrior. I seen the movie.
All right, AD. That hour we spent fixing stuff has put us back a little bit mentally, hasn't it? What do you got?
Well, all right. Tonight's mystery box over here on the red side of the room, Ryan McKay, has
AD Adams.
Two first-time spins out of my three, and we were talking about the 80s, and earlier I do believe Liz said hell is frozen over.
Yeah.
Well, Sunny Slope is officially frozen over, because that's worse than hell's freezing over. I have all three of my selections are from the 80s tonight. Oh,
what is going on?
What?
Sunny Slope has frozen over.
Wow.
Yeah, yes. 80s.
So let's,
yeah.
It's 80s night here.
Let's get going with this,
yes,
right?
It's 80s night.
We're going to have to ice skate home. Hell just froze over.
We are. Absolutely, Sally. So the first record I got in the mystery box is a good one. Now, I found this one at Zia's on Thunderbird on Monday. Now, we were going to come in on Monday and do the show like we normally do on Monday. It's a day off and, you know, that's a day we write for the show, and then we do it on Monday nights most of the time. Or I can get things done around, you know, Shav, like fix cables.
That might be something to look
at. Or
into.
Not, yeah. Or perhaps not.
Swap out the mixing console.
So, but we had gotten home on Sunday, and it was a rough road trip out of the...
I love that song.
Yodunkov. So... I knew
that was going to be Ricky's favorite song.
I decided not to do any. I just took the fucking day off, and I went up to Zia's, and I thought, I'm going to see what they got up there. I had a couple of bucks to spend. And so I remembered when I saw this record, this first one in my box here, I remembered seeing it about maybe a year ago or so, at the Zia down in at Camelback. And I remember at the time... you know, when I first saw it at the other Z, I pulled it out and looked at it kind of, and I had a couple records in my hand already, and I'm like, I don't know what it is. I didn't even turn it over. I was just like, cool looking cover. If I ever see it again, I'll look into it and see what it is. So I put it back. I didn't think much of it. But when I saw it up here at this Zia, I remembered it.
Thunderbird.
Yeah, for some reason, I found that the title was interesting. And I went, that's an interesting title for a record.
It's Raining Men?
Something, yes. Yes. And
cheap joke.
It never fails.
To bring a smile.
How many times you use it? The title, and I went, oh, there's that record again. You know, kind of weirdly, and it was like $3.99, and so I finally turned it over, and I'm like, oh, well, the producer, like, I didn't know who produced it before, and I'm like, that's interesting. So I'm like, $4. This guy's producing the record. I'll give it a shot, right?
Mm.
So this band is from the Netherlands, you know, Dutchland.
Okay. Hi.
Okay.
All right. Dutchland.
Deutschland.
And first time spin for this group. And this record also is the first album ever on our show to feature dudes in the band named Hank and Geert. Just saying. I have with me. So I'd never heard of this band. That's I'm buying this fucking record.
A Dutch
by
band.
By God.
Okay, a Dutch band that's not Golden Earring.
Right.
Okay.
With Henk.
And Geert.
And Geert.
I love it.
All right. I have an album by the Fatal Flowers called Johnny D is Back.
No one's ever heard of that.
This, Ryan, was a pleasant little find. I'm going to tell you, Rick.
I want to know who the producer is that tripped. $3.99.
Okay, what made me? Three things made me pull the trigger. $3.99. So far, so good, right?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Dude's name Henk and Geert, and flip it over, Ricky. And who's the producer?
Mick Ronson.
Thank you. Oh.
Mick Ronson. Mick Ronson.
I've never heard of Mick Ronson.
I had no idea who these guys were.
Kidding.
But now look at that. Flip it back and look at that. That's cool looking album cover.
Oh, yeah, look. There's a Marshall cabinet right in the middle of it.
And it's just Johnny D. It looked kind of punk. It looked kind of whatever.
Rock and roll star.
Now, it's 19. Now, here's the deal. It's 1988. And I'm going, Jesus.
88's a bad year for everything.
88, right? Yeah. It's an Atlantic record, so it could be a throwaway band. They signed them to write them off, and right? So now I'm looking at this record. I'm pulling the inner sleeve out like you just did, right? I'm going, okay.
It's the Marshall amplifiers with their road cases.
Yep. Again, produced by Mick Ronson.
David Bowie's sidekick.
So I pulled the trigger on it, right? I don't
Atlantic.
Know who he's at. But now I'm like, okay. I bring it home. I put it on. And I got to say, now you mentioned Golden Earring earlier. They kind of resemble sonically. They got the Golden Earring thing down. I mean, to say that they follow in their footsteps would be an understatement. I mean, Golden Earring's the greatest musical export in the history of the Netherlands. So this band obviously has a golden fucking earring record or two, right?
That Marshall on the... And the inner sleeve is stacked on its side like that. So
that's
that,
good
Ricky.
For the tubes, right?
That's not good for anything.
No, the tubes are dying. They're half falling out. Gravity.
Is that a
thing.
Marshall Major?
It's Mick Ronson's Marshall Major.
So
I went like this to see.
Yeah.
Like it's going to make a fucking difference.
Now you fucked up the other amps.
all the other amps fell down. Go ahead. Sorry, Eddie.
But so there are times when the lead singer, this Richard Jansen guy, sounds a lot like Barry Hay from Golden Earring. He sounds like the guy when he wants to. There are certain times, and it's obvious it's like he's channeling Barry Hay from Golden Earring. So, but. To a huge Golden Earring fan like me, that's fucking awesome. So okay. I'm like, okay, keep doing that. But the cool thing about this band is they're not like a one-dimensional thing. They wear a few hats musically without really wandering too far from what they're doing. So they got that Golden Earring thing. You mentioned the you listened to The Switch. There are a couple songs
the
on
Golden
here.
Golden Earring
that,
album.
Yeah, the
yes.
Switch Golden Earring album. And there are a couple tunes on here that sound like they could have come right from that record, from that era. Just, you know.
Really?
Moontan and Post Moontan. Those two albums, I think, go well together. Moontan and The Switch. I think
they're back to back.
I think they're great bookend albums. But, I mean, so you got a little Golden Earring tickling your earbuds. But you also got some nods to early Bowie going on in here.
Really?
Well, fucking Mick Ronson, winkety-fucking-wink, right? So, but there's also a little, like, Traveling Wilburys references in here. They
what?
Go a little bit, yeah, dude, it's like, and oh. some even are like, you know, the Rolling Stones. Well, you know what kind of eyes she had? The girl with the faraway eyes. They tap into that kind of disco-y, you know, some girls, Rolling Stones era stuff. So it's really an interesting.
Plays like this, yeah, that song on Some Girls.
Really
Stones
cool
record.
Fucking record. I'm like, okay, I played it the first time through, and I went, I think I give myself for never having, I give myself a B. And then I'm listening to the album again. I go, I give myself a B motherfucking plus. The record got better and better and better. I'm like, this is a good record. They've got some other stuff out. I've never heard any of the other stuff. And I didn't have time to listen to it on Spotify or anything like that. But this record, I'm going, dang, man. You know? So these guys were formed in 1984 in Amsterdam.
Of course.
Amsterdam.
Sorry I peed on your country.
Yeah.
Said Germ.
Oh, what a great story, Germ. Yeah, me and Germ got arrested in Amsterdam, and that's a whole other story.
It wound up with Germ in front of a judge going, I'm sorry I peed on
well,
your country.
Well, yeah, we had to make a statement to the consulate, and that was Germ's statement. I was like, I'm sorry, we don't represent you, blah, blah, blah. We didn't mean any harm, and Germ says, I'm sorry. And sorry, Pete, on your country. And we got arrested by this hot blonde Baywatch fucking Amsterdam cop, dude. It was fucking insane. I got my fanny pack on. She's frisking us. Yeah, I'm trying to find.
Hot. You're looking great,
dude. I'm trying to find my passport, and I got bags of hash falling out at my feet. And I'm going, mushrooms of like four different kinds of mushrooms, hash and weed. I'm going, oh, I'm so going to Turkish jail. You know, like in that movie, I'll put my titty up against the glass, like. What was that movie with Robbie Benson in it or whatever?
How old do you think I am?
You know what movie I'm talking about, Liz. Dude, and then she's helping me pick up, and I'm going, we're in Amsterdam. You can do that shit here. She's handing me my hash back, and I'm putting it back in my fanny pack going, good Lord. So anyway, this band's from there.
But I digress.
And they were... Oh, dude, that was so fucking funny. And oh, that chick from the Moulin Rouge wrote in magic marker on Germ's back with her Gucci. We should just talk about that.
They'll
play the record later.
It's way more interesting than this record.
That was holy shit. We need a show where we just call it Amsterdam. All right, so anyway, they were formed in 1984 in that place called Amsterdam. They were discovered by this guy, Craig Leon. Now, Craig Leon was the guy who discovered the Ramones, Blondie, and the Talking Heads. So he's a New York cat, and he's overseas. He's, you know...
He's getting a coochie scrawl.
He's getting a shakedown
tattoo.
By... yeah. But... So, you know, he's working with Warner Electra Atlantic, WE, the WEA group back then, and looking for bands and stuff. And he sees these guys and like, hey, they're pretty fucking good. So he signs them. They release an EP in 85 and then their first full length record in 86. And it was actually, it won them some like Dutch record award, whatever their Grammy or their Juno is. So it cool. won them some award. Their first full
the golden fanny pack.
Yes, right, yes. Frisk from a hot blonde.
The golden mushroom
award.
The golden mushroom is one of your films.
Yes. Ricky, do you have any golden on your paint palette there?
You won't need
I
a
like
lot.
My mushroom golden.
Just a hummingbird's beak full of it will do.
Gotcha. But so then, this is now the record, I don't even know where it is anymore. This is their second full length. It came out in 88, and Oor, spelled OOR magazine, rated it best Dutch album of 1988. So they did this
what
record.
What was it up against?
Yeah. Golden Earring record, probably.
Definitely yeah. A Golden Earring record.
But they recorded it in Woodstock, New York, of all weird things. I'm
cool.
guessing Craig Leon brought them back to the States. I didn't find anything about that, but probably. I'm guessing that's what happened. Brought him back here. Probably was able to record him cheaper. But the record obviously failed to even make a tick on the American charts. But it's regarded as Fatal Flower's best. The critics loved it. Fans loved it, but it just didn't sell. It's called The Undiscovered Masterpiece of the Lowlands.
All right. I like it.
The Lowlands, I guess, anything east of Yonkers. But... So they made one last studio record in 1990.
Right. Look that up, Liz.
And which was also so that Ronson did their last record too, but they left WEA to sign with Mercury for that last record, and it didn't sell either. None of the labels made any effort to sell the record. So this Richard Jansen was just like, "Fuck it, I'm done."
Going back to Amsterdam, where the party is. And...
Yeah, piss on their country. Piss on your own country.
Piss on your
Richard
own country,
Jansen.
Man.
But of course, as most of the bands back then did, they, in the 2000 and somethings, they made about 100 reunions and making plans to tour later this year.
Once again, the Fatal Flowers.
Right. So these guys are sort of like equal parts post-punk, rock, blues, R&B, and even, like I said, some of those country licks found their way onto this record. And, as if that isn't enough, Ryan, John Sebastian from the Lovin' Spoonful makes an appearance on this record.
Where'd they dig up that old
play
fossil?
Play harmonica on a track they released as their second single. There's a song on here called
drunk.
Second Chance, which was a single. And John Sebastian plays fucking harmonica on that. So, is it a masterpiece? Some actually say it is. I say, no, not a masterpiece. But if you see this record and you like good, straight-ahead Dutch rock and roll, who doesn't?
Who doesn't?
then you should pick this one up if you see it. It's actually a good record. It's cheap. It's not complicated. Just how I like my ladies. But Mick Ronson dialed in some pretty good tones in this one. It's pretty fat. He didn't get all squirrely with the production. Band's tight. Songs are simple. It's uncluttered. It's honest. And all in all, it's a pretty good little blind find, really. Cool. So I'm pretty proud. So Fatal Flowers, the album's called Johnny D Is Back. Let's spin a ruckus little number called The Dance. This has kind of got a little bit of Queen Bitch in it. In its rotten little veins.
Oh, like the old Bowie
song.
Yeah,
it's kind of got a little bit of that Queen
it's
Bitch
not
attitude.
A cover of Garth Brooks?
No. No, but I am. Like that.
I like it.
That's the Fatal Flowers.
I like the guitar. I like the tone of the record. Yeah. It's surprisingly not from 1988.
Dude, it's a blind find. I'd seen that record. Like I said, I told you a story earlier. I took it home, took a chance, and I really like that album. I started off with a B. I'd give myself an A. Every track on that album is a listenable track, and there's some really good stuff. It grows on you big time. It's a great, great record. It's called Johnny D Is Back, an album by the Fatal Flowers. It came out in 1988. That song was called The Dance, produced by Mick Ronson. And that song was written by Hank Jonkers.
And Geert?
No, Richard Jansen.
Oh, where was Geert?
He was playing bass.
That's good. I liked
think
it.
Geert was the bass player.
Geert. You could dance to it.
Flip it. What's Geert's full name? Geert Von
Gruden. You got it over there now.
It's over there in back of you.
I can't read that.
Oh, Jesus.
Your glasses are like 2 inches below your nose.
I can't read those.
It's next to your beer, Ryan.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What's
right there. Okay, cool.
The Fatal Flowers. That's right. Good record. Take it home with you. You should borrow that.
I will. All right. So I got a record here that I know that you have. And this comes from Brad Schick.
Okay.
Yay.
I've been playing a lot of the Brad Schick records here.
It's a Schick summer.
It is the summer of Schick.
He has sent a slew of incredible vinyl.
Yeah, and I brought one. And I know you've heard this one, AD. It's called Skull, is the name of the album. Although it goes by a different name. It comes out 2015. And you had mentioned that you... Although you liked it, you were kind of on the fence about it, okay? Because you got your copy, I believe, in the Seaborg collection, or yeah, in the Steven Seaborg Record of the Month Club.
Right.
All right. What I have, Skull, is the translation of the Latin and Greek word Golgotha, which is the album by Wasp.
Wasp, right, yeah.
Golgotha.
It's funny. I have that in my chamber. I was going to play something from that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where are you at with this record?
Ah, that's why I haven't yet. Good question.
Yeah. I got one from Brad Schick.
And
I was
just...
Like, right on.
This looks so evil.
It's. I know. It's actually...
It is so waspy.
It is not an evil record. It's Blackie Lawless has...
found the Lord.
He's found the Lord, and this is a Christian album.
There's
Ricky's face. He's like, what?
It just doesn't have those. It never rips. Like we were talking about that Genesis album.
Yeah, it looks like a Sabbath album,
right? Yeah, that Genesis album without the that you brought the song about the mouse getting out at
Wind and Wuthering.
Yeah,
all in a mouse's night.
And my critique of that record was it just didn't take you there. It didn't, every good Genesis record is going to do what they do. They'll have that little mouse song, but they're going to hit you hard somewhere in that song. They're going to take it over the top, and I think that's where this record, not one of the songs, not one of them takes you past that point of where you're just going, fuck yeah.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Okay,
they're all good, but you're waiting for that big razor or fucking saw blade cod piece to cut you, and it just doesn't, right?
Well, I'm playing a song that I think does that, because I remember you and I, we were somewhere in an airport somewhere, and you had mentioned that very same thing, and I thought, okay, and then I got the record from Brad Schick, and I as I listened to it, I thought about you saying that, and I found a song that I think does that, and that's the first song on side three called Slaves of the New World.
Okay, right.
How long, brother, is the hook?
Yeah.
How long, brother?
Yeah,
that's a pretty powerful song. No,
it's just voice. He's not hitting the notes like he used to. He's not taking that.
Well, it's 40 years later.
Yeah,
Naughty Holder could do it,
or 35.
Naughty Holder could throw down.
Naughty Holder hasn't sang a note in 25 years.
He didn't have to.
You got the record,
but he could. He could. Just saying.
Were you put off by the sort of Christianity of the record?
Not at all. Not at all.
I wasn't either.
Not at all.
It's not like a Stryper album. I think that's what everybody's trepidation going into this is. Am I going to hear Petra?
He wasn't like God, Lord, thee, thus, thy,
I don't
I
think
sin.
He even mentions the name Jesus in it at all.
It's a repentant record. It's a good record. It's from his soul, and I appreciate that. You know, I mean,
yeah,
and I like a good record about Satan too. So don't get me wrong. You know,
right,
I mean,
Satan. But I do too.
Beelzebub rules, man.
Yeah, that's right.
Beelzebub selling this year.
Yeah. My name is Lucifer. Please take my hand.
Sure.
Come on, NIB.
But no, the subject, it's just to me, the edge, his voice has lost its edge. And the band, they never give you that blistering rocker like you have to have
on a
Wasp
record.
I
disagree. I think they're throwing down. I mean, they're dudes in their, I mean, Blackie's got to be 60, right? 64, 65?
Yeah, he's got to be at least that.
Yeah, sure. They're rocking.
Not fast enough. There's
I don't know. The audience will tell us if they think this rocks pretty
great awesome. Sounding record.
It does sound good.
Yeah.
It does sound good, that's for sure. I'm a fan of the previous record too, and I think it was Steven Seaborg that found this the album Babylon that preceded this.
There's a lot more life in that record, Ryan.
I think so.
There's more life. That's what I'm saying. There's just something about this that lays a little flat. They're not doing anything in particular wrong. It's just that something isn't just overall right with it. It just feels to me like it lays flat.
Huh.
And I'm waiting for that next song to go, ah, there it is. And there almost is. So many of the songs
it's hard for me to argue with that because I like Babylon better than this album, Golgotha.
Sure.
I think you're right in that sense. But I feel like there's certainly enough energy to go around in the album. Not as much as Babylon, because Babylon is really fun. It's a fun record,
yeah.
Where this one's pretty heavy. Like, it's deep lyrically, obviously, and, you know, the riffs are deeper.
Didn't think the energy of the band was... I think the band sat flat in this one. The group
I love the guitar player that he's got going nowadays.
But where's my blistering rocker on this record? Where's my blistering fucking...
This one, Slaves of the New World.
It's...
Come on, it's got the big, you know, I don't know what key it's in, E minor to the flat 6, C.
Sure.
What do you want?
You
it's a fucking
that.
Wasp song. They all do that. Love Machine did that on the first album.
Yeah, but that was cranking, man. This one doesn't have that same tempo.
Yes, it does.
No, you'll see what I mean.
How's it going?
Have you heard this, Ricky?
No.
You'll hear.
Have you ever heard, where are you at with Wasp? Have you heard any Wasp at all,
no.
Ricky? Never one, not even one song.
Let's just spin some old Wasp right now.
No,
I go right over there and grab some.
So your inauguration will be Wasp of 2015.
Okay.
Not 1984.
Awesome. No.
Oh, now, yeah. See, now you're having doubts.
No, I'm not. No, I'll put this out.
Would you put this up against L-O-V-E Machine?
All I need is my Love Machine. Well, of course not, because I got a shit ton of nostalgia. I was 11 when that came out, you know? So I was like super, like... Whoa, look at these guys. He's drinking blood from a skull. He's got a cod piece that's shooting fire.
I want to be somebody.
I want to be somebody. And he's doing, what's the move? Remember the move? And he's spinning his hair around.
Oh, let's go get some old Wasp right now. Come on. It's
no, we
got
to listen
away.
To the new Wasp. We'll listen to this Wasp. And then
right.
We'll have some beers after the show. And we'll listen to the first Wasp album.
Oh, no.
And then the one after it, The Last Command. Also quite good. How does the guy, I mean, I imagine, you know, when you kind of follow the Lord and you're going to do the Christianity full on, and he's obviously nixed a lot of songs from the set list. It's like, yeah, there's a lot of Wasp songs that cannot be part of that set list anymore, right?
Yeah, he put his Repentance record. It's a double album.
He's really sorry.
Goddamn sorry, Lord.
That was the original working title.
Yeah. I'm goddamn sorry, Lord.
Yeah, so I don't know. Let's just check it out.
See you in hell, Jesus.
What? I am not traveling in a bus with you anymore.
No,
I'm going to be struck by lightning. Slaves of the New World AD, side 3 on this double repented album. Side 3, track 1. And tell me, this rocks. It's long. It's like 7 minutes, 7:30 or something like that. But
yeah,
plenty of time
epic.
To work out.
All right.
Come on, the lyrics are great.
We'll crank it up here in the studio too.
And it's not like this really like Striper or Petra album.
No, it's not sappy. It's not cheesy.
No.
Cheesy Jesus lyrics. It's not like Jesus is your friend. Jesus is my friend. You know, it's not any of that.
How do I love? Jesus loves me. How do I know? Track 1, side 1 is because the Bible tells me so. Flat 6. Just put it on. Just play the record, okay?
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's rocking. Come on. It was.
Yeah, you like it, right?
Yeah, he just doesn't have the range anymore. It's like listening to Paul Stanley.
It's the vocal. Well, it's not that bad. Come on.
No, not that bad, but you still go, come on. You can get there, get that, bring that note way up, hit that fucking go way over.
It's not Paul Stanley sounds like sandpaper against a tuning fork.
It's terrible. It's just terrible anymore. But yeah, I think that's the thing about the record that just. He didn't have the bite in his voice and that hit those super high notes.
Right. Yeah. I guess that's his range isn't what it was in 84 or 85, 6, 7.
So that, and that was part of his expression. That always enhanced his lyrics. That always made it more blacky than everybody else, because that range.
One more blacky.
One more blacky.
But I think the hook there, it's traditional Wasp hookery, right? And the guitar player we love, Doug Blair is his name. I didn't mention his name earlier. It's Doug Blair. He's I love him.
He was throwing down, yeah.
And I like him on Babylon as well. He's a guy that you could tell that's a Marshall, right? Like that's a Marshall and just a vintage kind of tone. And he's playing, but it's not too 80s. It's got a little reckless, like right on that sort of edge where it's about ready to run off the rails, and that's what I'm attracted to. It's
a
like
little
the
Ted
ragged
Nugent-y, sort of the free for all era Ted Nugent solo. Yeah, right?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, pussy. I said pussy.
Yeah, yeah, kind of like that. The ragged edge of guitar soloing. All right, AD, what you got?
All right, well, the next artist in my little box is another first time spinner. The band formed in Cambridge, Massachusetts, after the band leader had moved from L.A. to the East Coast in the late 70s, mid-late 70s. This album comes courtesy of the Mott Collection.
And it's in pristine condition, I'm sure.
It's a pretty cool record. I'm liking it more and more, like the other record I played earlier, the Fatal Flowers record. I listened to it the first time, and I went, I'm kind of not buying it. And I listened to it a couple more times ago. I think I'm getting it. What I have here is a little bit of girl power, Liz, right?
All right.
For Liz and Sal, I brought some Robin Lane and the Chartbusters.
Oh, my God. I love her.
Wow.
I don't know her.
Oh, okay. She's excellent.
Wow. Then, all right. I did good.
Liz, put your top back on.
I love her.
Right?
Is that what it sounds like when Liz takes her top off?
Thank you.
So now she's got an interesting little story about her. This is a live EP. It's referred to as Five Live, but the official title is Five Live Songs on a Specially Priced EP.
Okay.
And that's actually on the, it's there. It's not a sticker. It's
just for Steven Seaborg, when you're listening, just put Five Live.
Five Live, yeah. It was recorded April 19th. This was another 1980s record. It came out in 1980. It was recorded at
80?
Yeah.
That's pretty much the 70s, really.
August 19th, 1980 at the Orpheum in L.A. And like you said, pretty cool fucking album, right? I kind of dig where she's coming from. Definitely hints of Patti Smith in her vocal style and her delivery. And I even think she has the band playing kind of loosely like the Patti Smith group without the organ. That they don't have the big organ like what the Patti Smith group had,
Okay.
Like maybe the Easter album and
Radio
Horses. Yeah, Radio Ethiopia and stuff like that. But it was Patti had a lot of heavy organ on some of those. Well, most of those records, where the band still has the same kind of texture and vibe without all that organ. It's more guitar driven, simple stuff. But she's also, now she's got that sort of that guttural, soulful vibrato thing happening, a la, I would say, Ellen Foley.
Ah, another right? Mick Ronson produced Ellen Foley.
Right.
What was her name on Night Court?
Marky Post or something.
It was she was the blonde chick before Marky Post on Night Court.
Oh, that was actual other
for
actress.
The eight people that know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Who knows? Yeah. She was one of the bailiffs or something. Yeah. Bailiff Wackish people.
She was the prosecutor.
Yeah.
Or defendant. One of the two.
She was the bailiff, I thought.
The bailiff was Bull. And then it was that old lady. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Exactly, so, Ricky. So obviously she owns a couple of Blondie records, too. So you take Patti Smith, Tendencies of Patti Smith, Ellen Foley, a little Blondie. And again, guitar-driven. Think The Knack with Patti Smith singing lead, and you kind of...
So it sounds like something that's played on K-Rock a lot around 1979 or 80.
Yeah, you know, so, right. So, okay, so to figure all this out, to put this all together, who the fuck is this Robin Lane? So her dad was a songwriter and a longtime piano player for Dean Martin, a guy named Ken Lane. Her mom was a professional model in and around the L.A. region and nationally stuff, so... Good for him.
Good
genetics, good DNA, yeah. Right? Good breeding there. Good stock. They checked her teeth, checked her breeding. She's got good breeding hips. Got good teeth. She ought to last for a while.
Is that what you do when you're picking up a chick at a bar?
I open your...
have one of those.
Yeah, a little dental mirror.
Dental mirror in there.
Oral speculum, yes.
I'm not a horse.
Right. No, not yet, you aren't. I don't even know what that means. not yet. But so she was born in L.A. in 1947. And this record comes out in 1980, so she's 33 years old. Now, just make a mental note of that. Let's move on. She begins playing around L.A., music. She's doing like the folk acoustic rock thing, folk rock, acoustic-y around Southern California. Doing her thing, but you know, no success. Sort of just playing little clubs and
playing the Troubadour.
Not even, right? You know what I mean? So, but in '68, she married future Police guitarist Andy Summers.
Really?
Yeah, 2 days or 2 years later, they divorced, so one of them was an asshole.
That worked out great.
Yeah. But in 69, then...
One of them was an asshole.
So,
could have been both of them.
Now, remember Neil Young did the Everyone Knows This Is Nowhere album?
Good album.
Yep. Yeah, that's actually one of his good records. Yeah. I like that one. That and After the Gold Rush. But in that was 69. She sang background on the song Round and Round.
Oh, okay.
Round and round, we'll give our love, just give it time. Round and round, what goes around comes around.
You know what's good
on
that?
I'll tell you why.
Cinnamon Girl, how's that go?
I don't know. I want to live with the... You know, that was a rat. He was doing Rat Round and Round. Yeah, I don't know if you realize that. Right. Round and round.
I couldn't tell.
Yeah. That's what goes around comes around. I'll tell you why. All right. Anyway, enough of that.
That was terrible.
Never double down on a punchline. No. So in the mid-70s then, now she's out in L.A. In the mid-70s, she moves to Eastern PA, you know, sort of Western Jersey, Southern New York, nothing going on there. So she ends up going to Cambridge, Mass. That's when she starts getting into the punk thing. Late 70s, she's all into, you know, the references I named earlier. You know, Blondie, Patti Smith, and all those bands.
All right, yeah.
So now that's starting to happen. So she's now plugging into this punk, post-punk, pre-new wave stuff. And she's like, okay, cool. She gets a band together in 78 up in Cambridge, and this band. Right away, the label that they signed with a local label goes belly up. So that's just like, well, there's that. But they did a local show, some little local show. Jerry Wexler, Warner Brothers, you know, sort of talent scout producer,
sure,
all around show biz impresario kind of guy. Yep, comes in and sees him at a show. And I'm sure her dad being in Dean Martin's camp for all those years didn't hurt that connection any. So he ended up signing them to Warner Brothers, and they put out a first record in 1980 called Robin Lane and Chartbusters. This came out after that. Now, earlier...
In the same year.
Right. I had mentioned her age earlier. So
33.
Right? 33. Now, remember, that's not a big deal in today's society, but back in the music business, late 70s and early 80s, for a female-fronted band, it was a big deal. 33? That's old as fuck. And you're just putting out your first record. Oh, and MTV's coming in. So now we got the video age where we're going to shoot close-ups.
Well,
and it's very, very image-conscious.
Put it like this.
Visually conscious.
She's born in 47.
Right.
She is of the Woodstock generation. So she is the age of the people that played Woodstock. So think about what you know, Joe Cocker and Santana and
Grace Slick
and all those people were in 1980. They were kind of like on the wane.
Right. And it's not about the fact that she's a woman. I mean, 33 years old in any group at that time was old. You were over the hill for your first record coming out as the entire sonic and visual of music is changing. The entire industry changed with MTV, you know, and she came in with it. Matter of fact, her song, the one you probably heard of, When Things Go Wrong, which is they do a live version of that on this. That was their only sort of hit. That was the 11th song ever to be played on MTV.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow,
So here comes an older woman, a 33-year-old woman making their, you know, debut. This is her second.
An old woman.
You know, well, I said older woman.
Course,
and you know what I mean. I mean,
of course, in business. With,
right. And that was highly unusual for that to happen. So props to her for getting that to happen. But, you know, sadly, there were no record sales. I mean, the visibility was there because they got regular play on MTV with that video. So the visibility increased, but record sales didn't. So it just really didn't help them that much. They never really charted.
It could have been distribution things, too. Like, you just couldn't find the record. Lots of things.
You know, anything. And again, the industry was changing. I mean, MTV was in, and people were just going, I don't know, you know. So in 1983, they put out three albums on Warner total. They put out this record, the EP, and then one more release in 81 after this that didn't do anything at all.
So what became of her?
So 83, she just disbanded because of lack of commercial success and business disputes and literally her desire to have a baby.
All right.
Well. I want a baby. And I want a baby now.
Actual quote from her,
that's actually a recording.
done.
So she
that
she,
was fast. Yeah. Okay, so she has the baby.
Oh Lord! So she continued to write, record, and produce, but you know, never really achieved any commercial success, like relatively speaking. And again, like any other band, she, once in a while, blah blah blah. There's a reunion.
Get the band back together.
So I don't know. We have a choice, Liz. The one song that you probably have heard, and it's the one that they were playing on MTV, is that one When Things Go Wrong.
I wouldn't mind hearing that if it's the hit.
That's the one she's known for.
Hit-ish. You know?
And then, but the one I was going to play, and it might be too cliche, so I may go with you on this one. I'll let you guys decide. Is, you know, Johnny Kidd and the Pirates. She does kind of a rockin' version of Shaking All Over on this, as does Suzy Quatro, oddly enough, on her Suzy Quatro album. So you want to hear the When Things Go Wrong? Or?
I feel like I want to hear her hit. Maybe it would I might recognize it.
You want to put her on the map? You want to go there, Liz?
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
All right. We'll do that then.
All right.
We'll change the plans here. So here's Robin Lane and the Chartbusters with Chartbusters.
The Charters.
The
Chartbusters.
This is Robin Lane and the Charters.
The Chartbusters.
I just put the record on.
Next song we do is dedicated to everybody here, okay?
Go around.
That had the makings of a good song.
Yeah.
She's got an awesome voice.
Yeah, it's got
I feel like there were some issues in someone's tuning somewhere.
Yeah.
Did you pick up on that, Ricky?
Yeah.
I did. Guitar player? Or even maybe
I think in her voice.
Robin's voice.
Could have been a floor tom. Floor tom.
Floor tom.
Way off. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there was some kind of out of tuneness somewhere. And then we also made mention that it was just too dry for a live recording. Come
yeah,
on.
There was
put
no
those audience
life,
mics
life
up
in
there.
That, right? Yeah. Crank that up, right?
Yeah,
right.
I want to hear people like scream after the guitar solo.
Right.
The other the other track I was going to play was a ruckus, more upbeat. It was probably an encore or something later on or something. I mean, it's only five songs, so obviously they called it from a local performance and said, all right, these we're going to throw with the five best we got, whatever, on it. But and of course, they had to put their hit on it, which I guess that's the hit. So did you recognize that?
Yeah.
That was the MTV video.
They didn't play it a lot.
No, again, that record didn't sell. I mean, her visibility because of the videos were great, but it just didn't boost record sales that much for them. It
so
didn't.
And the Chartbusters, that would be ironic then.
Yes, yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's too bad.
Dear Alanis Morissette, this is irony.
Yes.
But of course, they may have named themselves the Chartbusters for the sake of irony, right?
Well, they didn't know when they named it what they were going to be doing. You know, that was at the beginning.
Welcome back to Shabby Road's Top 10 iTunes podcast.
Could have gone either way for them. You know?
Yeah, you never know when you start. Yeah.
So that was, Robin Lane and the Chartbusters, or the non-Chartbusters, or the Shart Thrusters, or if you will.
Shart Thrusters.
From the album Five Live, as they call it. It's actually called Five Live Songs on a Specially Priced EP. That was When Things Go Wrong. That was her big MTV.
What a perfect way to end it after what we went through an hour before we started recording.
God.
Oh, gosh.
What do you think it is? It was just Shabby
Ricky
Road being
Serrano.
Shabby? I think it's Ricky.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's probably me.
What did you bring in here?
It's his electric personality.
Yes.
Boogie, woogie, woogie.
You got he's electric. Yeah.
Did you bring a bag of bad juju in here?
No.
I saw you sprinkling something over that mixing board.
No. No.
He's not here.
All right. Well, that's going to do it. That is going to do it
that
for
was
us.
Creepy.
Here at the show. Thank you guys very much for hanging with us here. Episode 223 is going to go ahead and call it a night because that's the way we do it here. And the board's literally on fire. And Sal is about ready to die.
She is.
Yeah. So we better get the fuck out of here. Let's thank Ricky Serrano for hanging out. We love you, Ricky. We miss you. We
were so good to be back here.
When we were in Iowa, Ty Phillips asked about you. So he's like, what's he up to?
And hi, Ty Phillips.
So he's doing great. He is playing guitar a lot, doing lots of different projects, it sounds like.
Uh-huh.
And keep him busy there at the studio at his house.
Yep.
That's nice. Nice to have a studio at your house and not have to come to a place.
Plug something. Where can we watch some of your videos or listen to some of your songs?
All right. So I mixed this song for Jenny Jarnigan. It's called Not Sorry, and there's a video for it on YouTube.
Okay.
And I produced it and mixed it.
Did you play guitar on it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Yeah, and, there's some fuzzy guitars on it. Jenny Jarnigan.
How do you spell Jarnigan?
J-A-R-N. A-G-I-N.
Yes. Jenny Jarnigan. All right.
Pretty sure.
Jarnigan.
Jarnigan. I can't say it. Jarnigan.
Want another beer?
Sonny Jarnigan.
Sonny
Number 9, quarterback. Yeah. Washington Redskins, 1968.
Yay. Well, I got my picture taken with him.
Where'd it go? All right. Well, don't be a stranger, Ricky. Come on by.
Wait, I got something else to plug.
Go for it, please.
Then I also mixed a song for my friend Lucas Brown, and it's called Make America Great Again.
Yay.
Oh, really?
You know what, Ricky? I'm a fan of freedom.
Right?
I love
freedom?
That. I'm a big fan of freedom. Ryan, are you a fan of freedom?
I'm a fan of freedom. Look at me.
Liz, how do you feel about freedom?
It is going to be something.
Can you see my American pants that I'm wearing?
It's awesome.
Yeah. I love freedom.
What's the guy's name again?
Lucas Brown.
Lucas Brown.
Right. He wears American pants. He wears American pants.
Super so it's a song about killing hippies, right? God damn. A dirty hippie.
That's a new character we're working on. Trump supporter. Yeah.
I like it.
It's a song about killing filthy hippies.
the Space Force. Separate but equal.
Oh, okay.
Nobody's killing anyone.
No one's killing
no
anyone.
No one's killing
anyone. No one's making anything great again.
Oh, fuck.
All right. Well, thank you, Ricky. Don't be a stranger. Come on back, please.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have so much fun when you're here.
We do love Ricky.
Yeah, I know.
We go back way too many years. Something like 15 years.
Misadventures in this room.
Ricky's only 15.
And, yeah, a couple times.
Yeah, a couple times over.
Yeah. Been
well,
there twice.
Well, let's also thank Liz Damian Brooks for running the controls over there in the... In the Shabby Command Center, which is having a rough night, but Liz is over there.
No fires yet.
There are so many bum cables just strewn about. How's it going over there, Liz? Is this even being recorded?
Yes.
Ish?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So we apologize in advance, but if you'd known what we've gone through.
I'm drinking over here.
It was awesome.
You haven't noticed.
It was awesome.
It was great to be
we've
back,
had a great
Shabby.
Time. I know that.
Yes, yeah.
This one was just for us.
It's like, remember when?
Yes.
That's horrifying. I will continue to be horrified by that story all day long.
Oh, and that's the sound of that trollop. Sal 5000. Good night, Sal. Please, before your battery dies, say goodnight to us.
God damn it! Fuck!
Sounds about right. That's awesome. Well, thanks again, you guys. If you like the show and you want to support the show, why don't you leave a nice review on iTunes? Not about the sound quality, but about the content. Well, not about the content, but about the record. Well, not about the record. Just 5 stars. And
nice.
Thank you. And also, if you enjoyed some of the music tonight, like the Shard Thrusters or the new Wasp album,
yes.
Or one of the other 1980s things we've got on offer tonight, why don't you go over there and buy it on Amazon and click through our website link, shabbyroadrecordshow.com. We've got an Amazon banner there. You can click on that. Doesn't cost you a penny. Just helps keep the lights on here at the Shab. It's summertime here in Phoenix, Arizona.
Bring it hot.
It's hell.
114 degrees.
Bring it hot.
Hot.
114. JD's paying his electricity bill here. It is in the neighborhood of
$300
a day. Day,
are you still in Trump supporter voice?
I guess I was.
A Trump supporter. How much was your electricity bill?
It was $300.
Whose fault is that?
That's a goddamn hippie's fault.
It wasn't Obama's?
No, it's his fault too. He was a hippie, wasn't he?
Because that's a big statement.
We could talk to Trump supporter all night and get lots of laughs. But we got to go. We've got to get the hell out of here. The mystery boxes are, in fact, empty. So I'm going to jet out of here like a spark from Blackie Lawless's codpiece. Before I go, I'll squeeze one more codpiece reference in by saying goodnight to the crown jewel of the official Shabby Road codpiece. Thank you. thank you to alltheworldsastage.net. For that codpiece, we got that. And AD is the official crown jewel. Get out of it, get out of it, guys. It's AD Adams.
Well, there you have it, Your Honor. What further evidence do we need?
Well said, Ryan.
I suggest you sentence this rogues gallery to 15 years in the Sunny Slope State Vomitorium for shenanigans on becoming a podcast. Thank you all for listening and being willing accomplices to hit this here crime. And thanks for all your support and for all the word on the street sharing of our sonic little felony here. But before we don our prison orange jumpsuits and perp walk past the applauding hookers and hobos gathered in the Hurl Cake parking lot, I'd like to say good night and get me out of this mess to my pal, my co-host, and to the best damn bare knuckle brawler on the Bowery, Ryan the Tooth Doctor McKay. Good night, everybody.
Dr. Tooth Doctor.
Right. Hey guys, a portion of the Shabby Road Record Show is brought to you by alltheworldsastage.net. For all your bands and company merchandise needs, click on alltheworldsastage.net and never pay screen charges for orders of more than 24 items. There are no PMS or flash charges either. Mention Shabby Road Record Show and you'll receive 10% off on your order. alltheworldsastage.net.